Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Time for the Friday edition of Hancock and Kelly.
You two belong together.
Sponsored by Serta Pro Painters.
John Hancock, Michael Kelly on News Radio 1120, KMOX.
Happy, really cold Friday morning, buddy.
It's a little chilly out there, Michael. In fact, I'm wearing my Where's the Cue Ball Going scarf this morning.
Yeah.
Got that when I was at the World Snooker Championships earlier this year. And by the way, I want to congratulate you, Michael, on the significant improvement that I have witnessed in your snooker game. You've come such a long way.
For the listeners, we played yesterday, and you beat me 3-2. 3-2.
Yeah.
Every game was competitive. There was a time, Hancock, where the games were 5-0, 6-0.
Uh-huh.
And now you're barely able to take me to a draw. What's the matter?
Oh, I was just reflecting back on yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Let's see if I can recall what exactly transpired.
I'll tell you exactly what happened.
What?
So, in the game of snooker, like bowling, you can have a perfect game.
Yes.
Okay? And a perfect game in snooker is called a 144.
147.
Or 147.
That's when you make.
So that's when you would make a red ball, a black ball.
15 times in a row.
15 times, and then you would do the rest of the colors.
Yep.
So yesterday, at the beginning of yesterday's match, I guess it was our second one we played.
Could have been.
John made a red ball.
I did.
Then a black.
I did.
Then a red ball.
That's exactly right.
Then a black.
Yes.
Then a red ball.
Yes.
Then a black.
It was incredible.
And announces a potential 147 on the way here, which is like hitting a hole in one. It was not going to happen.
I did that once.
He was gloating as if he was some spectacular, and he barely won that game.
Yeah, let me finish the tale of the reds and the blacks. Mm-hmm. After potting three reds and three blacks consecutively, I made a fourth red.
Uh-huh.
That's now seven balls in a row.
Right.
Then I make the pink, which is only worth 6 points. Then I make another red. Then I make an incredible, I mean, I don't like to, an incredible black to the middle pocket. It was a highly acute angle and a good distance away. That would be 10 balls in a row. And then I made another red, and then I put the brown in the corner. 12 balls in a row for a total of 44 points, matching my highest all-time score in one visit to the table. That's what happened yesterday. And I just thought I'd share. But I didn't come here to talk about that, Michael.
Yeah,
I came
not to, here to talk about
came
the
to tell you,
you
how much your game has improved and how enjoyable it is for me to see you thriving there
at
on
the table.
At the table.
But again, I remind you that it was 3-2 yesterday.
It was.
I almost beat you in that game. You apparently had the 147. Unfortunately, this first segment is a short one.
It
so
is.
That people who have no idea what you were just talking
we're
about
all done
for
now.
3 minutes thumping your chest.
We're all done.
Can now find out what the
we're
traffic
finished
is.
Here. We're going
to. And welcome back to the Hancock and Kelly Show. Every Friday at this time is our political segment. And John, lots of Missouri stories in the national news. One of them related to former Congressman Billy Long from Southwest Missouri.
Springfield. Billy Long.
When did Billy retire? Last?
It was in 22, I do believe.
Right, and he was a big supporter of Donald Trump's early in Donald Trump's first campaign for president. Well, he's being rewarded. He's been chosen as the director of the IRS. Now, people on my side of the aisle somewhat scratch our heads and worry that could this be the start of taking the IRS from Donald Trump perspective as a weapon against some of his enemies. I don't know that Billy is somebody who could put that together on his own, but being the leader there, he could potentially play that
it's
role.
It's a big job, 80,000.
Is that type of concern unfounded?
We'll see. 80,000 employees in the Internal Revenue Service. It's one of the larger parts of the federal government. It's three letters that none of us like. And Billy Long is an interesting choice. His background is in real estate, and he's also an auctioneer, and a good one, from Springfield, Missouri. He was in Congress for, I want to say, about a decade. Replaced Roy Blunt as the congressman from the 7th Congressional District back when. And he retired after serving, I believe, five terms. So he's been out of the Congress now for a few years, and he's been tapped by Donald Trump to be the commissioner of the IRS. You know, that's a position historically that has gone to, it's not been a very partisan position.
Right.
You've not seen political candidates placed at the helm of the IRS before. Perhaps has happened. I'm not aware of it. The commissioner of the IRS is given a five-year term so that they kind of transcend political administrations in the White House. That was the design of it. And in order to install Billy Long as the commissioner, they're going to have to fire the current commissioner, whoever that is. I don't know who it is. But they've got 3 years remaining on their term. So he or she will have to be fired in order to make way for Billy Long.
Tearing down a norm, one might say.
Yeah, it would be highly unusual.
All right. So Billy Long, a Missourian, may be leading the IRS. Billy is an auctioneer. He's gotten attention in the past. You've probably seen him. He was the guy. Hey, he and the governor are both auctioneers, aren't they?
No, the governor's not. Governor's a cattle farmer.
Mike Parson's not an auctioneer?
No.
Huh.
Why would you think?
Talk like I'm going to tell everybody what's going on. 28 people are going to get health care in Missouri.
He is not an auctioneer, Michael.
Hey, let's talk about some of the other confirmations. You have Pete Hegseth, Secretary of Defense. Boy, more and more just keeps coming out on him, John. This nomination looks as though it's in peril, although he did get a boost from Jody Ernst yesterday saying, hey, let's let this hearing process play out. Is the hearing process a way for Republicans to allow these, whether it be Tulsi Gabbard, Pete Hegseth, or even potentially Bobby Kennedy, to become so distasteful in those hearings that it gives them a way out of not voting for President Trump's nominees?
Well, I mean, you look what happened with Matt Gaetz, and he withdrew his nomination because it became clear he wasn't going to get the votes. I don't think that's the case presently for Pete Hegseth. But curious reporting came out within the last 48 hours that, and who knows if it's true, but the reports were that Ron DeSantis had been approached as a potential Secretary of Defense should the Hegseth nomination not work out. And if that's true, if there had been some kind of an outreach from Team Trump to Ron DeSantis, that probably bodes ill for Hegseth's ultimate confirmation. You know, it's got to take four Republican senators to vote no on any of these nominees in order to defeat them. Because if three vote no, J.D. Vance would break the tie with the 51st vote as the vice president.
That's Meatball Ron DeSantis is what he was called by Donald Trump. He'll be the head of the meatball military if that change were to make.
Yeah, DeSantis, though, I mean, he's got a pretty decorated military career.
But why would he, of all of them, go to work for Donald Trump?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if he – I mean, that's a – Secretary of Defense is a, as you can imagine,
it's 3 million employees.
It's a highly important position in the federal government, and you know, historically they've been retired generals who have taken the helm there. Not always.
So Hegseth is in trouble. I think he doesn't make it. The other one that probably is in peril is Tulsi Gabbard. I think Bobby Kennedy will get through the nomination process.
Yeah,
he'll be
too.
Made a fool. But I think he will get confirmed. What say you on Tulsi Gabbard?
Well, as the Director of National Intelligence, I'm not comfortable with her espousing Vladimir Putin's talking points on not just Ukraine, but Ukraine and also Syria. She went and met with Al-Assad, the head of Syria, who's now under real threat. The rebels in Syria have made some real gains. They've taken back Aleppo, which was, five, 10 years ago was the focus of a lot of the chemical weapons, children being slaughtered by the Assad regime with the Russians involved. And so the fact that the rebel forces are moving and gaining back some of that ground is, I think it's a great development. I think Gabbard's going to be very controversial. And DNI is, again, this is an important position because so much of it involves trust between us and our allies, sharing intelligence back and forth. And I think you could see if our allies don't fully trust the integrity of U.S. intelligence, then that could be a real problem for our national security.
And many people think there's already concerns with a lot of our foreign partners and allies with Donald Trump. They have concerns about him. Not to mention you put somebody in like Tulsi Gabbard. Who knows what's going to happen? Hey, at the beginning of this week, hard to believe we haven't talked about it yet, but probably the biggest thing that Joe Biden's done since he got out of the race is he pardoned his son, Hunter Biden.
Yep.
From any and past
charges.
Let
me tell you, that's a horrific decision on his part for a host of reasons. The precedent that it sets, the fact that he lied to us repeatedly saying he wasn't going to pardon his son and then he did. It's, you know, of all the mistakes of this administration, that was a big one.
John, you have Donald Trump who says he's going to pardon all the people from January 6th. So you have Donald Trump who's pardoned Jared Kushner's father-in-law, who wound up, setting somebody up in some type of a scandal, some type of bribery scandal, and now who's going to be the ambassador to France? I mean, so Donald Trump can't. I mean, Joe Biden can't take care of his own son. But Donald Trump can pardon everybody under the sun, and that's not a problem.
And now, Donald Trump pardoning the January 6th incarcerated folks, which I assume he's going to do. He said he was. He's given some modicum of.
You can't blame this on Joe Biden.
Well,
listen, I'm with you. Joe Biden lied to us.
He did,
and he should be held accountable.
He should.
I got to tell you, if I had a kid, I think I probably would do the same thing. I also have in my heart belief that the Republicans would continue to go after Hunter Biden. I think that they're not going after Liz Cheney and all this other stuff. I think it would be a problem. But, you know, they've spent the last 6 years going after Hunter Biden, and just to drop it, it wouldn't make some sense. I get why the man did it as a father. I don't know that there's an excuse here, but to liken this as some license for Donald Trump to act a fool.
You don't think you don't think Trump's going to point to that as a rationale?
Okay, so then use it for one appointment. How can you say a guy taking care of his own son is an equivalent to all these dirt balls that he's wound up letting out?
I don't think Hunter Biden's exactly a picture.
No, he's a dirt ball too.
Right, yeah.
It just happens to be his kid.
Right.
He ain't no Steve Bannon. He's no, January 6th person who did stuff on Nancy Pelosi's desk. I mean, come on. That's not a license for them to be able to do that.
Well, it will be used as such is the point I'm making.
Well, I hope you'll be as outraged.
And the fact that, look, you can make a case for pardoning your kid. I would be hard-pressed not to pardon my kid if I were ever in that position. But what you don't do is lie about it. And over and over and over again for political purposes, when he was running at the time for president, saying, no, I'm not going to pardon my son. And it's an odorous look. And
I'm with you.
Doesn't speak well of Joe Biden's character.
I'm with you. But I just hope that the outrage that I'm continuing to hear about Joe Biden, this horrible individual, gets held to the same standard with Donald Trump. And the reality is it won't. There's two sets of rules out here for everybody. And when it comes to Donald Trump, we all just seem to look the other way. I'm not going to stand by and allow whatever Joe Biden's done to be a license for Donald Trump. Hey, what about this appointment of Court Van Ostrom?
This is interesting.
In St. Louis County.
Yep.
So we know Wesley Bell, the St. Louis County prosecutor, wins the congressional race, beats Cori Bush. He will be moving on. He hasn't resigned yet. That's interesting to me. Still being the prosecutor.
Right.
Sam Page says, hey, the statute says I have the right to make this appointment. I'm going to be making it. At the same time, the attorney general for the state of Missouri, Andrew Bailey, said no. The governor has the right to make this appointment. Mike Kehoe has indicated that he's going to make this appointment. The one wrinkle that exists here, John Hancock, in the city of St. Louis, when Kim Gardner resigned, the governor made that appointment.
Yes.
In St. Louis, Charles County, when Lomar resigned, Steve Ailman made that appointment.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Page is making the argument, wait a minute, do Democrats not get to make their appointments as the statute says? That's the fight that's getting ready to take place. There's a regional aspect to it and a state aspect. Let's talk about the state first. Who's right?
I think they're both right. So the county charter says one thing. The state statute says gives the governor the authority. And at times, historically, the governor has chosen to exercise that authority. Remember when George Peach, years ago, the circuit attorney got caught with prostitutes? It seems quaint in today's world. And he had to resign. And Governor Ashcroft at that time appointed a fellow named John Palazzola, a Republican attorney, to take the circuit attorney's office. He ultimately lost the election when it was next on the ballot. So this is going to get resolved
in
the courts.
It's going to get litigated. Okay.
It will be resolved.
From a political standpoint, Sam Page is sitting there with only one ally on the county council.
Yeah.
Pretty much if he's for it, the council's against
right.
it. Court Van Ostrom seems to be a pretty reasonable appointment that everybody likes. Do they give Sam Page help in this fight from a county council perspective?
That's going to be.
Or do they leave him out hanging?
That's going to be very interesting to see. Hey.
Time for the Friday edition of Hancock and Kelly.
You two belong together.
Sponsored by Serta Pro Painters.
John Hancock, Michael Kelly on News Radio 1120, KMOX.
So we've been around here for a while, Michael. How long have we been here?
Wow, it's got to be close to almost two decades, isn't it?
16 years.
16 years. We're working towards a full two decades.
And I remember, 7 years ago. So we'd been here a decade at that point. I remember so excited. I got the invitation to the KMOX Christmas party. Remember
yep.
we went? It was at that hotel.
Right.
That new hotel. Lovely event.
It really was.
Hors d'oeuvres. Everyone.
All
Charlie
our coworkers
Brennan was
there.
It was, all the shows.
The bosses. The big, the high brass.
The big people.
The yeah,
big
the
people were there.
Yeah.
We were rubbing elbows with all the people that matter here at the Voice of St. Louis. And it was a delightful evening.
Saw Tom Ackerman.
Tom Ackerman was there. Mm-hmm. 7 years ago. And haven't been to one since.
No.
I thought maybe they stopped having them. You know, times are tough.
No. In fact, John, this Tuesday I was sitting at home, was wondering what you were up to.
Yeah.
And started looking on my phone.
Yeah.
And I saw all of our coworkers posting photos.
From the Christmas party.
From the Odyssey Christmas party.
Huh.
And they were looked like they had a merry time.
And they actually got invited to the
sandwiches and food and drink. It looked like it was an open bar.
They got invited to the Christmas party.
Yeah.
You know who didn't get invited to the Christmas party?
Who's that?
That would be you and me, brother.
Wow.
Not invited to the Christmas party. And that's why oftentimes we are referred to here at the Voice of St. Louis as the professor and Mary Ann. And people say that.
Just
about
right back
yeah. And, you know, because you think about all the people that were there. You had the newsroom was there.
Yeah.
Total Information, too.
97.1.
The Chris and Amy show.
Yeah.
And the DGS.
Uh-huh.
And let's see, Sports Open Line folks.
Yeah, they were there. Matt Pauly.
The Weekend folks
mm-hmm.
were there.
Some of the Garden people.
Yep. Yep, and but not us. We're the professor and Mary Ann, and so that's turn that up, James. There it is.
Ah, yes.
A little more. Gilligan, you got the skipper too.
Glover and Andrew.
The millionaire.
And Amy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Chris and Amy.
Movie star and the rest.
That's us. You got the Gilligan, you got the skipper too, the millionaire and his wife, you got the movie star, and the rest.
Yeah.
And that would be you and I, Michael.
Yeah. So now that we've busted everybody's chops for not having us at the Christmas party, would you have gone?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't miss it for anything.
Yeah.
I look forward to it.
Years
ago.
Yeah.
It was delightful.
Well, there was a time
that
we used to host the Christmas party.
Well,
you know, they had the Christmas play, and then we would be on the radio, and we would do the play-by-play of the after thing, and everybody would come talk to us. That's back when we played a little more different role.
Well, and Yes. And, of course, we don't do the radio play anymore because our dear colleague Kevin Killeen has moved on to Greener Pastures, and he was the author of that radio play.
Have you started the Christmas party gauntlet?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You've been to one already, have you?
Yes, we have.
Yeah.
And I would have been too had we known about last week.
But, there's so many – what's crazy about Christmas season – is you have a time where you don't see people for a whole year, right? And then you run into them at a Christmas party and you think, how great is this, John? It's so good to see you. We haven't seen each other since blah, blah, blah. And then a week later, you're at another Christmas party and you run into
the same people,
the same guy.
Yeah.
And now you already had that moment a week ago where you were connecting and now you're seeing each other on the gauntlet. It's a shame that we don't see each other as much as we all do when it comes to Christmas time.
Yeah, but this is my favorite season, man. I love Christmas. It's and with the grandbaby, it's even better.
Really? You guys got to be getting is the elf on the shelf showed up at your place?
We don't have an elf on it. We do have a shelf, but we don't have an elf on the shelf. We do have
have an elf that's
we've got a light up Mr. Grinch though. She's really into Grinch right now. And so he's all lit up. And
are you familiar with what I'm talking about as it relates to this elf
I've
thing?
Heard of the elf on a shelf. Okay, is it like good luck or something?
Well, no, but like it's kind of like an advent calendar each day. You know, the elf on the shelf is at a different place. And he tells you, you know, John, behave because Santa Claus is watching.
The talking elf?
Yeah, I guarantee you.
You got a talking elf?
No, he writes something out.
The elf is writing his messages.
You need to go ask Tula if the elf has shown up to her house.
How does an elf write? How does an inanimate? I'm assuming it's not like a real elf.
We're not going to have this conversation about Christmas on the radio, are we? I mean, you have questions about how the elf does its thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's not actually physically writing
notes.
Yeah,
they can write something or. You
how do they do it?
It's magic, John. The elf comes down from the north and puts that little note there and tells
Tula,
"I'm
not buying this.
Behave."
I'm not buying it.
Well, how do you think Santa Claus gets to all those houses? It's magic.
Well, I mean, that's a different, you know.
Well, the elf, I think, works for Santa. Are you being serious? You don't know about the elf on the shelf?
I've heard about the elf on the shelf, but I don't know that I've ever seen one speak.
See, now, I'm being Catholic. We also had St. Nick's Day, which I don't know when that is, but, you know, like St. Nicholas's Day. And it was you would put your shoe out by a fireplace. And then, you know, St. Nick would leave you a little taster, you know, a little something, behave, be on the right path. You know, it could be candy, could be very small, but it was to kind of get you focused on the fact that Christmas was coming, and
you know. I don't know about you, but I'm not eating any candy that's been stuck in my shoe. You know, I mean,
really? Well, you're one of those rich kids.
It's not good in there.
What do you mean, putting it in your old tennis shoe?
You
haven't gotten a candy bar?
I wouldn't have eaten it. I'll tell you that.
Really? You were that picky as a little kid, John? Looking by the size of you, it doesn't appear as though you're that picky.
My shoes. I would not eat out of a shoe. I'm not going to eat out of a shoe. It's not going to happen.
Okay. Let me ask you this. So yesterday, we were playing snooker together.
Yes.
And I brought us lunch.
You did.
Yet again.
That was very nice.
And so there we are having, and if your sandwich would have fallen from your mouth onto the table there at the pool hall, would you have picked up that piece of the sandwich and put it in your mouth?
Yeah.
But a wrapped candy bar inside of a shoe you would not have of eight.
And you have no idea what's going on inside my shoes.
Yeah.
And
you think that the pool hall tabletop is some sparkling clean recently, you know.
Yeah. Leached? I'm sure Todd wipes it down every day.
So you're saying that Todd and others are cleanly. You're a filthy animal.
My shoes are not the best place for food hygiene.
Did you know if you go into the military or you go into the Boy Scouts or, you know, one of these places where you're going to camp and stuff, maybe even if you're a firefighter or a policeman, but it's definitely the military, they tell you that taking care of your feet is one of the most important things you can do.
It is.
Because if your feet are messed up in the military, you can't move.
My feet are extremely good weightlifters. And, you know, they're very useful and important in that regard.
Therefore, they sweat and stink.
That's right. And speaking of, there's no good segue at this point. But we are going to step aside because when we come back, I have recently learned of a phenomenal nonprofit in our town that many of you out there can avail yourselves of, and we're going to visit with the president and founder of the St. Louis Hero Network.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
That's right here on Camo X.
John, it's that time of year where we remember that there are people out there that work when the rest of us are off of work, and that's our police and fire.
No question about it. And we are joined in studio by a St. Louis firefighter. He is Charlie Metzner, and he has founded an organization called the St. Louis Hero Network. And I think this is just the greatest concept in the world. Charlie, tell me what this is and how you came up with the idea to start it.
Well, there's three of us. There's three city firefighters, right?
Yeah.
Two of them, which are military veterans. And we're just looking for, initially, a way. Our mission was just to find ways to help support, you know, first responder families fill in that financial gap, you know, and, you know, whatever business they have, like in retirement, their spouses of, or just a part-time, you know, gig they do on
side
the side.
Job.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So what came about was something much, much bigger. So our mission is to connect our first responders and our veterans to their community and allow our community to support them and their families by promoting, which we have now is 215 first responder and veteran-owned businesses here locally in the metropolitan area.
And it's everything, right? I mean, they literally, it's service industry, construction, it's everything.
Right. It's not just service stuff. Like, it's not just, you know, coming, you know, putting gutters on, painting your house. It's anything you can think of, financial advisor, car salesman, automotive repair, anything you can think of. It's a, like someone mentioned in an interview the other day, it's like, you know, if a first responder owned a bakery in his retirement years, you know, anything that's first responder or veteran owned.
Yeah, it's like a fraternity or a sorority where y'all are making sure others know that, hey, this is a firefighter's organization and you should go out and support it.
Right. I mean, you put that on there and, you know, it's like with the service stuff, it's something we don't really talk about very much, but, I mean, who do you want in your house around your kids?
Right.
Even your pets. People love their pets sometimes more than people. So who do you want around in your home? Do you want somebody with some built-in character and integrity? Because there's bad apples everywhere. Or do you want somebody who served their country and served their community?
Yeah, and so, you know, if, let's say, hypothetically, I'm outside this morning walking on the driveway, and I look down, and the asphalt is cracking. It looks like crap. Need to get that replaced. I could go to your website and find somebody who's a veteran or a police officer or a firefighter or a first responder who is in that business, and I could, you know, so choose, I could hire them.
Correct. So it's like a directory, like, you know, like Home Advisor or something. You go there, you go to the directory, you find out what you need. You can either search it or you can go to the parent categories, and, you know, there's drop down boxes, and there's also it's a marketplace. So it's good for, you know, finding employment, you know, education or events, you know, for first responders, veterans, and even the public.
Okay, so where can people access all this information that you've put together? Give us the website, and then you also have activities and opportunities during the year that people can participate in.
Right. The website is stlheronetwork.com, and those activities you were talking about are under our featured events in there. So right now, there's still Guns N' Hoses since that just passed. I'm a big advocate for Guns N' Hoses. I'm on the committee board, and I tried to be a big contributing person, member there, and as well as the bourbon raffle. And then we got the 12 Bars of Charity on December 14th, this Saturday downtown.
Yeah. Well, what's that?
So 12 Bars of Charity is the largest pub crawl in the St. Louis area.
Ooh.
I mean, it's insane. It's grown bigger and bigger every year. And it's 8 nonprofits. It's a friendly competition where 8 nonprofits compete to see who can sell the most sweatshirts. Your sweatshirt is your ticket. So you go and get a sweatshirt under whatever flag or color of nonprofit you want. This year we're black, so you always bet on black.
That handsome shirt you're wearing here in the studio, is that the shirt that people will be purchasing?
No, that's we have a black sweatshirt this year. It's red on black.
Nice.
So you pick a different one every year, but it's amazing nonprofit. So you got Stray Rescue, you got World Pediatric, you got Young Kids Friends with Cancer, you got St. Jude, Make-A-Wish, Gene Slay, and ALS. I mean, to be the Hero Network being next to those nonprofits, being 6 years old, 6.5 years old, is actually humbling and pretty awesome.
Yeah, and so you buy these sweatshirts, John, and then you have access to how many different bars around town, right? Isn't that what it is?
Correct. I think there's 37 or 47 bars that you go to, and there's shuttle service. And so, and $15 for every sweatshirt goes to a nonprofit.
It's crazy, man. You'll see people everywhere this weekend. It's fun. It's fun to watch all the energy and stuff for the not-for-profits.
So it's not this weekend, though. It's the following.
14th.
The 14th of December. And, that does sound like a blast. And are all the establishments within the city limits?
Yeah, they're pretty much surrounding the ballpark, because it's a ballpark village.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of them are in Soulard, because that's where a lot of popular bars are.
Oh, yeah.
So it's between 2 and 6 on the 14th of December, and it like he said, it's crazy. There's probably 10, the downtown will be filled with 10 or 15,000 people just doing the pub.
So do people show up? Where do they show up to get their shirts?
So there's a courtyard at Ballpark Village where you can come and pick up your sweatshirts, but in the last 2 or 3 years, I would say the majority of people are having them shipped. Because if you buy sweatshirts and you get them shipped, it's the same price if you get one shipped or five shipped.
Right.
So
what he's saying is go to the website, which is 12 barsofcharity.com/St. Louis, and buy a ticket to it under the Heroes Network is what you would want people to do.
You want to bet on black, and if you're not first, you're last.
And I'm telling you, John, this is something that young people from 40 to 20, they're all out there doing it. It's fun.
I've never heard of it, so that does sound like a blast.
Right, and actually a bar in High Ridge who helped us raise $14,000 for Officer Travis Brown, who was killed in the Ferguson incident. They're actually offering a shuttle to and from their place in High Ridge, so people won't drive, under, the influence.
Well, that would be not good.
Right.
Wow, that's really cool. And your website again is STL Heroes Network.
Hero Network.
Hero Network, correct. Singular. And, all right.
Charlie, before we let you go, how long ago did you start this?
6.5 years ago.
What inspired you to do it?
It, like I said, initially it was just to create a database, because this is an old idea that I took to a level way up here.
Uh-huh.
So it was something, firefighters in the past have come up with, back in the day, the firefighter yellow pages, stuff like that. But I took it to the next level, and I didn't see it being viable just being for profit.
Is it specific to St. Louis, or have you seen this idea take place in other cities?
No, I was trying to cut and paste from other things. I Googled it 1,000 times, and there's some things that are veteran that are slightly similar, but nothing first responder and veteran.
Well, it's as simple as going to the St. Louis Heroes Network. Check it out. You can be a part of that and go put in this 12 Bars of Charity. So many places that you can help them. Help local firemen and police officers who have businesses out there.
And one last thing I want to talk about. So on the 8th, we're doing a charity bourbon raffle. So it's bourbon for backstoppers.
Yeah.
And we've sold almost 500 tickets.
Wow.
There's 700 tickets available. The grand prize is a 6-bottle vertical of Pappy Van Winkle, which for auction can go up to $15,000. But we have verticals of Weller, some Blanton selections, 1792. And since the president of Guns N' Hoses is David Stokes,
right,
of CEO of Grey Eagle, we got some really good bottles from him as well. So
that's
there's multiple
great
ways to win.
And that is also on your website.
That is also part of the
STLHeroNetwork.com.
Under the featured events.
All right. Thank you so much, Charlie Metzner. Godspeed to you. Great organization that you've founded, and glad to see it thriving out there.
Thanks, John.
You up for some potpourri?
Potpourri. Now, here's something you don't see anymore.
Yeah, what
you used to love that. You get the little bag of the potpourri there, and potpourri is a French word that means a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and it was.
And,
are you sure that's what it means?
It was something like that.
It's a nasty looking conglomeration of dead flowers.
They're just dried flowers, and they've got a scent about them that is,
and they put them on the back
pleasing
of a toilet. I haven't seen them since the 90s.
I've seen it more recently, but I don't see a lot of potpourri. Anybody out there still have potpourri?
Yeah. I don't know that I've ever recently found it even at some of the craft shops and stuff.
How much time do you spend at the craft shops?
Well, buddy, I pick up my paint from some craft
shops.
Oh,
I guess that's right. Yeah, You're an artist.
Some painting.
I forgot about that. Yeah. Sitting next to old Van Gogh.
Craft shops, you would think potpourri would be there. Well, let's do some potpourri, shall we?
All right, potpourri.
Hey, question for you.
Yes.
So one of the things that Elon Musk is really all excited about with this Doge group is they want to do away with regulation. And
good.
I bet that sounds good to you.
It does sound good.
Right?
Yeah.
But, John, there's a lot of regulation that people are wanting right now, and I'm going to make reference to some of it, that you could argue is extremely molecular compared to regulation as it relates to environmental policy, et cetera. What do I mean?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going
to
ask.
President Biden is wanting to put regulation on the fees that can be charged by Ticketmaster, SeatGeek, and others. From being able to charge you exorbitant fees over and above regular ticket prices. That's universally liked by everybody.
So pass a law.
That's they're putting those types of regulations in.
Well, that's not the executive branch shouldn't have the authority to essentially enact law. You know, if you want to cap the fees that Ticketmaster charges, pass a law.
So you talked about a week ago about a regulation that you liked, which was this new situation where you would be able to cancel your streaming service immediately.
Yes.
Was that a law that was passed?
No, but that was under, I forget exactly, it did have a statutory authority to it.
Uh-huh. But that's a major regulation, John,
it's a regulation.
For government.
I'm not against all regulations. I'm not against all. I'm against the executive branch making up law out of whole cloth. I don't like it when the courts do it. I don't like it when the bureaucrats do it. Laws ought to be passed by the duly elected members of Congress.
Well, then, so you probably don't like the regulation that's been implemented for, you know, the streaming stuff. It should be a law that's passed, is what you're saying.
I think that had a statutory authority behind it.
All right.
Go ahead.
Josh Hawley was all over our senator, who, from my perspective, a left of center view, he's an embarrassment to the state.
Embarrassment.
But he had an interview or one of those senatorial hearings where they had the CEO of Spirit Airlines there.
Uh-huh.
And he was all over Spirit Airlines as to how they make charges of services over and above the ticket price. So we all are aware that you could buy a ticket price. You and I could buy a ticket price on an airplane, depending on when we bought it, the algorithm that sent it to us, etc. That could be a different price. I could have paid $79. You could be paying $200.
Probably am.
To go to.
Aggravating.
So, but Josh Hawley said, okay, fine. If we accept that, how is it that I show up and my carry-on bag may cost more than John's carry-on bag? And he's wanting to put regulation in on, you know, how they're able to do this.
How are they able to do that?
Well, he said, hey, we're a free enterprise, and we charge different things for different people at different times, depending on what they come. At the end of the day, this is all about taking in the most revenue to keep the planes afloat and to provide a service to people. He made his pushback. Josh Hawley didn't like it, and people like me and you who think it's kind of crazy that you and your wife could be paying something different for some type of carry-on, don't like it. But at the end of the day, that's the long arm of government wanting to hop in there, John Hancock.
Yeah, it kind of is. And I'm not a fan of that. Here's my thing with government regulation. When you have a law is passed and the Congress grants authority to a federal agency to enact certain regulations to achieve the policy that is underscored by the law, that is as it should be. I think there are far too many places and where government regulation has just run amok. And it costs businesses money every day. When it costs businesses money, it means it costs consumers money every day. And a good, hard look at government regulation and the millions of them that exist, I think, is called for. I'm hopeful that this project that Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy are looking at, I'm hopeful that it yields real results, real savings, real reductions in regulations.
People who've listened to Hancock and Kelly, it was a couple of weeks ago we had on Brad Young. We also talked about the Chevron case, which is allowing an examination and a lawsuit against regulations going back. I just think it's interesting that we had this push to deregulate, yet almost all of the conversation I hear in government is regulation being pushed by both sides of the aisle at a very molecular level when the word regulation is considered to be this big, terrible word. Hey, speaking of interesting things.
Yes.
State of Missouri, not necessarily a liberal bastion, correct?
No.
What do we have here? We've legalized marijuana.
Yes, we do.
Illinois, our partner to the east, has also legalized marijuana in many of the states.
Much of the country.
You know who hasn't?
Who?
Texas.
Oh.
And there is a push to keep Texas from becoming legalized, from being able to legalize marijuana. Is that not like our second, third biggest state in the country living with its head in the sand here? I mean,
no.
They've got this huge population of people who, you know, would probably like the same products that are being sold elsewhere. So as a result, you have people probably running to different states and bringing stuff in. Why would you put your head in the sand? Why not just wake up and realize, like we did on sports betting or marijuana, there ain't no turning the clock hands back?
Well, if they don't want it. And, you know, if the elected officials there don't want it, I don't see any culturally, socially redeeming value of letting people buy weed. But it's a situation where if the people want it, and then certainly in Missouri they did, they voted for it, the recreational marijuana. If the people want it, then the people are going to get it. And so if there's enough demand in the state of Texas where, you know, a clear majority of their people want legalized marijuana, they'll get it eventually. But I don't think it's putting their head in the sand. That's not exactly a societal good thing that you can run around stoned all the time. You know?
Hey, here's a more local one for you. Here's a name I didn't think we'd hear anymore. Kitty Radcliffe. Kitty Radcliffe was the head of the Convention and Visitors Commission here in St. Louis. I think she'd done it for almost 20 years. Unheard of to have one person run a convention business for that long.
Yeah. She retired.
I guess she retired. She retired early.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, it's been well documented that the retirement may have been hastened by, moving on. I would have thought she'd be headed to her next community like she had done before. But guess what? The mayor of the city of St. Louis has appointed her to the airport board. Isn't that interesting that our convention and visitors commission person is now going to be one of our regulators of the St. Louis airport, which arguably is the most important part of the gateway to St. Louis for tourism.
Yeah, that's an interesting. I was not aware that she remained here. You know, her brother has been tapped by Donald Trump to head the.
I did know that.
Was it the CIA?
Yeah, the CIA.
John Radcliffe,
or NSA,
former congressman. Yeah.
And then, of course, you saw the big shift going on at the St. Louis Chamber, which is now called Greater St. Louis Inc. It's an amalgamation of business groups. Jason Hall, who's somebody I know, John, from back in the day, he worked for Jay Nixon, and nearly his entire staff came from Jay Nixon's operation. And when Civic Progress and some of the, and the whatever we had, the Regional Commerce and Growth
RCGA,
Association, eventually were merged and created this great St. Louis concept, which is a great idea of bringing businesses' focus under one umbrella. Jason was the inaugural head of that. Well, he's moving on to other pastures.
Yeah, that was a surprise to me. He was the first head of Greater St. Louis, and he'd been there, I don't know, it's maybe 10 years?
No, just a couple, three.
Oh, it's only been a few years. He's moving from St. Louis to Columbus, Ohio.
Right, a much smaller market.
Find it interesting.
Yeah, obviously moving on. But it will be interesting to see what the business community chooses to do to replace here. Because, you know, whether it be the Arch, the World's Fair, the stadium that we had that brought us a football team, it was really the business community that had led the efforts in the past.
No question.
Whether it be under civic charters, et cetera.
Yeah.
Great St. Louis said, hey, we got to bring these fragmented organizations together under one umbrella. And I guess the criticism that many of us had, like myself, which is, it almost is like Great St. Louis became a partner of local government rather than being the advocacy for the businesses in the region. And I think that's the best place the chamber can be. I think we've got to quit trying to fix government and hold government accountable from a business perspective.
No, I think that's right. And look, there's a lot here in St. Louis that's not going swimmingly at the moment, but there's so much capacity and opportunity, I would think, in this city to enhance business, to retain and recruit businesses to St. Louis. And, whoever comes in next, I wish them well. We need a strong and active Chamber of Commerce in this town to deal with all of the challenges that exist because of, frankly, the political leadership that exists.
I, for one, am hopeful that they bring in somebody from outside with a fresh perspective here in St. Louis. I mean, we just talked about one of our former directors of a regional asset now being pointed to the Airport Commission. Sometimes it's a good idea to put some new water into the mix.
Fresh set of eyeballs.
There you go.
That's our potpourri segment.
That's potpourri. When we come back, they're going to ruin baseball.
Again?
And we're going to talk about it.
Again?
Yes.
That's next.
Well, they're about to ruin baseball, pal.
Go ahead.
So, look, they did away with the pitcher batting in the National League. We didn't like that.
I wasn't a fan of it.
But it's a change for the game. They've brought in the pitch clock, and it makes it faster.
Yeah, and I do like that.
Yeah, they've brought in interleague play, which is great. You get to see all the great stars.
Right. Yeah,
But at the end of the day, it kind of mucks with the tradition, the stats, and the et cetera.
That's a big part.
So there's no longer a way to compare. This subtly, you can still compare it. But many people say that the stats are different from the 1940s than they are today because it's a different game. Well, have you heard this latest idea that Rob Manfred's pushing, which is called the
golden at bat.
The golden at bat, which
it's ridiculous.
Means that at any time during the game, one time during the game, the offensive team would be able to choose to put up a any batter. I guess it could be even a player that's already playing.
Right.
Could come back up and they could put him in. And the idea is to make it exciting, et cetera, to attract younger people.
Ridiculous.
Yes. Okay.
It's ridiculous.
I just wanted to make sure that you
And I'll
board.
Tell you what else is ridiculous.
Okay.
And this is the one that lost me.
Okay.
And I guess we're 2 years into this thing now. In extra innings, you get a free runner at second base.
Right.
That is so antithetical to everything that baseball is about. Baseball is America, Michael.
Right.
It is the American pastime. And in America, you've got to earn it. You don't get people don't just go and hand stuff out. No. It's an opportunity out there for you. You got to go seize it. You got to go earn it. And what you don't earn is a runner at second base for no reason whatsoever. What? Who's going to score 80% of the time, and the pitcher is going to lose the game because some bozo at the baseball headquarters decided it'd be a good idea to put a runner on second base who hasn't gotten a hit, hasn't gotten a walk, hasn't reached on an error. It is ruinous to the national pastime.
It bothers
a stupid
me
rule.
Less the runner, because I think what they're trying to ultimately do, we know, is to speed up the game and bring it to an end so that we don't
have
to.
Why don't I just spot you 20 points every time we play snooker?
I have a more egregious thing that they've done. This idea that you got to pitch to three batters.
Yeah. Yes.
That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
That's contrary to what baseball's all about.
I'm not happy about that.
If you want to use every pitcher you got in the second
inning,
have at it. But for the next 10 or 12 innings, if that's how long it goes, you're stuck with who you have.
You know?
This idea that you're forced to pitch to three batters, it takes the strategy out of the game.
It completely. And a guy like Randy Choate. Remember Randy Choate?
Yeah,
he was for the Cardinals.
He would occasionally choke.
No, Choate.
Choate.
Okay, he was not Brad Choate in the newsroom. I'm talking about Randy Choate. He was what they called a loogie.
Okay.
He was a left-handed specialist, and he'd come in and he'd face the – say there's a left-handed batter coming up. You go out to the mound, tap the left arm there, bring in Randy Choate.
One batter,
and he would come in. He was your left-handed guy. He gets rid of him because the left-handers couldn't hit him. Everybody else could. And he's out of the game. He'd make 75 appearances a year and pitch, 50 innings.
Yeah.
And And gone is the role for that player out of the bullpen now because of this ridiculous three-batter rule. So I'm with you on that one. I'll tell you the other one I don't like.
Okay.
Limiting how many times you can throw a pickoff throw to first base.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I mean, that's not the game.
Right.
The game is the pitcher and the pitchers, you know, there used to be real pickoff artists on the mound. Our own dear.
But you have to work it. You can't be under a constraint.
Our beloved Rick Horton, one of the voices of the Cardinals, tremendous pickoff artist.
Especially.
It was a lefty, and he was a tremendous pickoff artist. And they're taking that out of the game. And they made the bases bigger.
I don't have a problem with that.
Well, it's changing the game.
Yeah, I understand. But, I mean, that's a subtle change.
It's not that subtle.
Doing away
How many stolen bases would Lou Brock have had if we had these big old Wompo bases? He would have had
that's a good question.
More than 893, which is what he had, second all time to Ricky Henderson. He would have stolen 1,000 bases if he had these big old bases out there. So, yeah, I don't
like that.
Well,
I think
that.
We've resolved all the issues with baseball.
Good. I feel better. I'm a little worked up, though.
He is John Hancock. I'm Michael Kelly. Hey, listen, on Sunday mornings on Fox 2 here in St. Louis, it's Hancock and Kelly, the television show.
Yes.
Which is essentially everything we just did, but you can look at us.
Oof.
And more importantly, Andy Banker is there, and he moderates
us. That does improve things.
Now, we also make the commitment to stick around for an additional hour
Chris and Amy show.
We join the Chris and Amy show.
We're invited to the Christmas party around here.
Don't you think Amy would be at the Christmas party?
Of course.
I would imagine she would.
All right, we got to go. We're out of time.
Christmas party.
We're out of time.
All right.
But we want to thank you for listening. Thanks to James O'Sullivan. We'll see you here next week on KMOX.